Genesis 13. Abram and Lot, his nephew, they're in the land. God is blessing them. They're growing, they're increasing, but they get to a place where they have to go separate ways. Their herdsmen are fighting, there's conflict. They've grown too much for the place where they are. So Abram tells Lot, you pick which way you want to go. Verse 10 says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Lift your eyes now and look from the place you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Sometimes there's a separation in life. I mean, it's not even a bad separation. It's a good separation. It's for good reasons. The Lord has blessed Abram and Lot. But I see two things here. I see Abram, where were his eyes? They were down. I think he was sad at the separation. He was sad at the new season that they were entering. I think there's people in here today, you're sad about the new season you're entering because it feels like you're losing something or someone. It feels like you're losing something or someone. And so the Lord is saying to you today, I believe he's saying, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Look from where you are and begin to look out. See what he's given you in this next season. Get prophetic vision in this season for what he's doing, because some of us, we feel like we've lost something. But there's actually more for us to take hold of in this next season. Your eyes are just, they're down. He's saying, lift your eyes. Lift them. Then what's he say? Arise. You're down. You're looking down. You're disappointed. You're depressed. You had an expectation for what you thought things were going to look like, and all of a sudden the reality does not look the way that you were hoping it would look. And so that place between expectation and reality, it's hurt, it's disappointment. And you're kind of down right now, and you're looking down, you're sitting down. And he said, no, arise and go. You got to step forward into this next season. There's a blessing waiting for you. There's multiplication waiting for you. His hand is on you. If God is for you, who can be against you? He's an unstoppable God. If you're walking with him, guess what? You're unstoppable because you're partnering with the unstoppable God. If you're with him, if he's for you, who can be against you? It's disappointing. It hurts, and it feels like you're losing something, but this next season is going to be better than the last. Step forward into what he has for you today. Let's pray. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you. Lord, we just believe right now, your word never returns void. Your word is a seed. There's a seed being planted today, a seed of faith. I believe it's going to fall on good soil today. The soil's been plowed through praise. Praise is a plow. Judah is a plow, it says. It softens the soil of our hearts. And so that's why we praise in this house. Because after we praise, we can receive the seed of your word. And when the seed is sown, it returns 60, 80, 100-fold. And so I'm just believing today that there's seed sown that will be eternal and it will change destinies today. There is faith that will rise in this room today. There are people that will say Jesus is Lord today. They will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that you are Lord King Jesus and that God raised you from the dead. I believe that today. There's a harvest. If we would just look up and look around and see what you're doing, we would not miss it. Lord, let us not miss it today. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. I feel a great disappointment, but there shouldn't be. Because if we would just look up and look around, that's what he's saying there. Look up, look around, and then what? You got to take action. Some of us, we just keep waiting for God to do it. And he said, no, arise. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. It's the first step. On your journey back to health, what's the hardest step? Just to get out of bed, right? Oh, it feels kind of cold in my room. I don't want to get out of the blanket. I can go to the gym tomorrow. Arise. Arise. Get up and do it today. You're not promised tomorrow. Steward today what you've been given. You've been given a body by the Lord. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Take care of the body. Steward it well. Stewardship is key in the kingdom. Some of us, we keep waiting for God to do it. God, make me skinny. God, make me rich. And he's saying, steward what I've given you. Well, God, I don't have very much. It's a seed. Sow it. As you sow it, he'll grow it. Seed is something we trust. It's a step of faith. It's a step of trust. Too many of us are trying to just control God and control our timing and control our destiny. And what are you doing? You're trying to manifest it. Some of us, we're just trying to manifest our destiny. And we think, well, I did this for God, so now he'll do this for me. He owes me. He owes you nothing. But I'll tell you this, he's a good God, and in the right season, at the right time, he'll bring the harvest. And if you will just begin to look and take an account, so many of us, we're living in a harvest, but we're missing it because we're not taking an account of what he's doing and what he's done. We're missing it. And we're so focused on what we don't have, we're losing sight of what he's already given us and entrusted us with. We will never be blessed if we don't have eyes to see, because we are constantly, like, if you just begin to look around, you'll see there's a blessing. Arise, take it. That's what he was telling Abram. You feel like you lost something. This is actually going to be better for you. Now there's room to grow. And this next season, he might cut off some relationships and you might feel like, I'm losing something. I'm losing something, Lord. This isn't fair. This isn't right. How am I going to move forward into this next season without that person, without that thing? Lord, I needed them. They were the key to my growth. They were the key to my success. And he's saying, no. You don't need Lot. You need the Lord. You don't need Lot. You need the Lord. Lot needed what was inside of you more than you need what's inside of him. What was Lot trusting in? He was trusting in what he could see. He looked and he saw things that were good. He saw, like Abram said, you pick to the right or to the left. Which way do you want to go? And Lot looked each way and he said, well, that way it looks a lot more fruitful. That way it looks a lot easier. That way it looks like the better path. The world's way always looks better. It does. It always looks better. But do you know what Lot did? Lot went and he planted himself near Sodom. What did they know about Sodom? Sodom was wicked. Well, he was like, well, if I just don't go inside, if I just kind of stay on the outside, I'm not in Sodom. I'm just near Sodom. And some of you, that's where you are right now. That's where you are right now. You're like, well, I'm not in Sodom. I'm just close to Sodom. It's all right if I'm close. Do you know where we find Lot a few chapters later? Living in Sodom. Living in Sodom. What does God do to Sodom? He burns it down. Like, that's how we're treating our sin right now. That's how some of us are treating it. Right now, we're just like, well, I'm not all the way in. I'm just kind of like, just a little out right there. It could be worse. I could be murdering somebody. I could be killing somebody. I'm just thinking about murdering somebody. I'm just thinking about killing somebody. That's where it starts. You just get near Sodom, and then all of a sudden, one day, you're living in Sodom, and you wake up, and you're like, oh, this is just normal now. Don't let Sodom become normal. Praise Jesus. Praise Him. Like, He's so good. He's so good. Like, that's a revelation. For somebody, you're here today for the very first time. You're hearing that, and you just, your whole life has been, well, how close can I get to the line? That's what you've asked. That's what you've been asking, like, the whole time. You've been asking God. You've been asking, you know, whoever. You've been asking pastors or preachers or teachers, or you've been asking theologians. Well, how close can I get to the flame? How close can I get to it? Because it feels kind of nice, and it looks like what they're doing is kind of fun. And I don't know. Maybe if I just get a little close, but not all the way in. No, run from it. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Be set apart. That's what holiness means. Set apart. Not set near. Not set pretty close. No. Set apart. Run from it. Flee from it in this season. Some of you are here today. What are you doing? This is a moment to repent. This is a moment to flee. This is a second chance. God gave Lot a second chance. He gave him a second chance. Why? Because Abram interceded for him. Like, when the Lord went to Abram and he told him his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah, what did Abram do? He was like, well, shoot, I got family there. I got friends there. And he started interceding for him. Some of you, you're here today because people have been interceding for you. People have been praying for you, believing for you. Some of you are here today, and it's not by accident. It's not. The Lord had you here today for a reason. And He's speaking to you right now, and He's changing your life. And this destiny that you're dissatisfied with and that you keep trying to manifest and hunger for more, and you're just like, you're always mad and bitter at God because your life doesn't look the way you thought it would. If you'll just get in line with Him and get in the flow of His Holy Spirit and His Word and begin to walk with Him, all of a sudden you're going to see everything you've been wanting, it is nothing compared to what He has for you in the kingdom. He has more for you in the kingdom than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. So this great life that you have pictured, this great destiny that you have envisioned for yourself, it is dust compared to what He has for you. It is nothing. He has more for you. If you will repent, which just means you're going this way, go His way. His way is better. So Abram intercedes, and he gets God all the way down to like just 10 people, Lord, if there's just 10 people there. And God's like, okay, fine, I won't burn it down. And guess what? It's bad. It's terrible. And they have to flee the city because it is so terrible there. And they're fleeing Sodom. And what they tell them, what the angels tell them, don't look back. Don't look back. Some of you, the Lord is saying today, don't look back. What happened? Lot's wife looked back, pillar of salt. And some of us, I mean, you're here today and you've been told this whole time, oh, these are just fairy tales. These are just, no, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Let every man be a liar. Let every man be a liar. He's the God of truth. He cannot and will not lie. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture. All those Old Testament, those are just stories and fairy tales. No! Archaeologists are finding more and more proof all the time, for years, for decades, for I don't even know how long, all right? I've lost track. But they've been finding proof of all these historical places. The Bible is accurate. The Bible is true. In fact, you can go there and you can actually find the place where Sodom and Gomorrah, it was burned down. You can find sulfur residue. Like, you can find the remains. These aren't fairy tales. Don't look back. Some of you right now, you've been chasing him for a little bit, but there's that little temptation to look back. You're like, I don't know if this is worth it. This is kind of hard. This is kind of tough. I feel like he's asking me to do some things that I wasn't really ready for him to ask me to do. He's asking me to give up some relationships. He wants me to tithe 10%? What? That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Some of us, like, that's it. Like, when we hear that, we're like, no, we're out. It's obedience. That's what he cares about. He doesn't care about the money. He cares about trust and faith and relationship. Do you trust him? Do you trust him with 10? It's faith. It's trust. It's relationship. And some of you, you're actually in marriages and you struggle with trust because actually you and your partner, you don't even trust each other with each other's finances and you have separate bank accounts. And I want to tell you today, there's a better way. Learn to trust each other and learn how to steward what God has given you together. Money is an outward sign of what's going on in the heart. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's where we get it wrong. Sometimes we're like, oh, money is evil. Money's evil. No, no, no. It's the love of money. He wants you, whatever he gives you, he wants you to steward it well for the kingdom. Stewardship starts with 10%. That's the tithe. That's saying, God, I trust you with the first 10 and that you will bless the 90. That's how Abram lived his life. He went to a great battle. It was called the Battle of the Kings. There were spoils of war. When he came back, the very first thing he did was tithe to the king priest, Melchizedek. Why? Because he knows the victory was not his, it was the Lord's. Some of you, you keep thinking the victory, everything that's happening in life, you think, oh, it's mine. It's because of me. No, no. If you'll just get in line, it's actually easier if you begin to give him the credit, give him the glory, give him the honor, and just walk with him and serve him the rest of your life. That's a better way to live life. That's the invitation today, to die to self, to stop having to strive, to stop having to do it all on your own, and to just live with him as Lord. Some of us, we say he's Lord, but we don't live it. If you love me, obey my commands. He lays it out for you. Some of us, we say, oh, Lord, Lord. And some of us, he's going to say, I never knew you. You'd be like, oh, no, no, I love you. I love you. If you love me, obey my commands. Well, that sounds like legalism. That's not legalism. That's obedience. That's honor. We obey him and we honor his word and we live in obedience to it because he's a good father, because we've been saved. We don't do it to get saved. We don't do good works. We don't tithe to get saved. We don't give. We don't serve. We don't, whatever you think it is, you kind of fill in the blank for you. Like, you're here today and you maybe got like a religious background and you think, oh, I got to do all these things and I got to check all these boxes to be saved. No, no, no. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. You're already saved. It's by his grace that you have been saved. And so now, because we've been saved, because he's been so good to us, we desire, as he's transforming and renewing our hearts and minds, to walk in obedience to him, to honor him. Because if you love him, you obey his commands. I use this all the time in marriage. I can say I love her. I can say I love her. Like me and Pastor Steph, when we got married, we can say it. But if after we get married and we get home and I'm like, all right, see ya. I got to go see my girlfriend. What? What? That's stupid. But that's what we do with God. That's how we treat God. We say it. We come to the altar in a moment, and we make a decision to follow Jesus, and we say yes to him. Yes, Lord, I'm all in. But I need to go see what the world's got over here. I need to go see what Sodom's got going on over here. I need to see what Gomorrah's got going on over here. I'll see you on Sunday, though. If you love me, obey my commands. He teaches us how to show him love in his word. That's why Leviticus, Pastor Steph was talking about Leviticus. That's why Leviticus is a beautiful book. It shows us things that God says are holy. Things that he desires to see for his people in the kingdom. And because we love him, we desire to live in holiness. Not to be saved, but because we've been saved. He desires you. He loves you. His heart is for you, not against you. And yet we treat him as if he's nothing. And we go and we cheat on him with the idols of this world. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Why does this church talk so much about tithing? Oh, he just talked about money last week. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Jesus said it. Like, money's got a hold on some of you. Let it go. Die to it. It's all his anyway. But you're holding on to it like, oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. He's the creator of all things. If you really believe that, if you really say, oh, some of you say you have faith. Show me your faith by your works. You say you have faith. Show me your faith by your checkbook. Seriously. You don't even do the bare minimum. He's the creator of all things, and all he asks for is 10% to just show him that you trust him. And you're like, that's too much. He's letting you keep 90. The government takes 30. And we don't have any problem with that. You believe more in the government than you believe in the living God. You believe more in the justice of the government. Well, I don't want to get in trouble with the government. Where do you think you stand with the Lord right now? He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Praise Jesus. Praise him. Praise him. Somebody got free in that moment. I don't care if it was one person. You're free from the love of money right now in the name of Jesus. You're free. Don't go back. Don't look back at Sodom. Stop looking back. They said to run and don't look back. Today, run and don't look back. Run. Run the race well. He doesn't care if you trip, if you fall. He just said don't look back. Like some of you feel like you're running the race and you keep tripping and falling. And some of you feel like I feel like I'm just kind of trudging along. Like he's going to teach you and strengthen you. So eventually you're going to start to sprint. But right now you're like a little toddler learning to walk because you just started. And you keep tripping and falling. That's okay. Just don't look back. Keep chasing the Father. You're a toddler running. Don't look back. Chase the Father. And it doesn't matter how many times you fall, what happens? Eventually you learn how to walk, and eventually you learn how to run. I got a little 2-year-old, and she thinks she's great at running and walking. She's not that great at it, and it scares me a little bit. But you know what? The Father isn't scared. He's got you. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And so you might feel like that little toddler, like my little Indy, who's running on the couch and she's falling flat on her face off the couch. Like, I don't know why she's running on the couch. Like, just run on the floor. Like, don't do that. You might feel like that right now in your faith, but I'm telling you, he has got you because he's a better father. There's a lot of times I'll catch my daughter before she falls. I'm pretty good at that. He's a lot better of a father than I am. He's a better father. Trust him. So even if in this season, if you fall, trust that he's going to catch you. He's going to pick you back up again. He's going to say, hey, good job, son. Good job, daughter. Let's keep going. Don't look back at Sodom. Jeez, I had a whole other sermon plan. I don't know what I'm doing right now. He's good. He is. He just showed up. He just showed up for some of you today. Some of you, you heard exactly the word you needed to hear. Praise God. Some of you in here today, you need to lift your eyes up like Abram and look around, because some of you are missing the harvest. You're so focused on what you've lost or what you don't have that you're missing the harvest right now. We are in the harvest season. It's October in Nebraska. It's the harvest season. And I'm telling you, in this house, there are people receiving a spiritual harvest, but you're missing it because you're not taking an account of where you were and where God has brought you to and how his hand of blessing has been on your life, how it is on your life, and how it will remain on your life. Don't miss the harvest. Look around in this season. You're taking for granted what he is doing and what he has done because you're so, you're dissatisfied. And you're like, the grass looks greener over there. Abram could have been like that. He could have been like, oh, shoot, well, what Lot got looks better. That looks better than what I got. I shouldn't have let him pick first. And God is saying, it doesn't matter. You could go to the desert and I'll bless you. I'll make it fertile as long as you're with me. I'm the creator of all things. So some of you right now, you feel like you're in a desert in your relationship, in your marriage. But if you're with Jesus, I'm telling you, he is going to water that in this season. And what looks like a desert and a wasteland is going to become one of the most fruitful places in your life. How do I know that? Pastor, how do you know that? Because I've seen it in my life. I've been in the desert, I've been in the wasteland in my marriage, and I've seen, as long as I stick with him, as long as I walk with him, he waters it. And as long as I keep sowing the seed of his word, as long as I get the seed deep down in me, what happens? He brings a harvest. My wife and I, we're in a harvest season. Like, praise God, he's doing things in our marriage and doing things in our ministry, doing things in our church that I never thought possible. My goodness. If you could tell me we could start a church with 300 people and then whittle it down to a church of 40 in a cold, dark gym in the middle of Nebraska winter, and then all of a sudden one day you look up and you look around and there's no place to sit in this room and there's cars parking up the street. What's going on? It's a harvest. Look around. Look around. People are hungry for the Spirit of God. He's moving in this city. There's a revival in this city. Don't you want to be a part of it? In the name of Jesus, don't you want to be a part of it? Don't you miss it? Don't you miss it? Because you're looking around for the next best thing. Oh, they got a laser light show at their church. Oh, that looks pretty cool. Don't miss the Holy Spirit for a laser light show. Sheesh. Ah. God, we love you. God, we praise you. We thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're welcome here. Father God, you're holy, you're holy, you're holy. Jesus, we just praise you. Lord God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. You still move, you still work. Lord, I pray for something to get broken off somebody today that's been holding them back from believing all that you have for them. They're still looking down, and you're telling them to look up. God, I pray somebody would lift their eyes today and see how you're moving and see how you're directing them, see how you're guiding them, that they will see the land of the promise, the land of the blessing, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. There's a blessing. There's a promise. He's the promise keeper. He's the promise keeper, not the promise breaker. Hold on to the promises of his word. Don't let go. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I told you last week, there are people that believe that the Holy Spirit has stopped moving, stopped working, that the gifts and the movement of the Holy Spirit have ceased. It's called cessationism. They believe it's all ceased. The supernatural, it's ceased. It's done. That's the house I grew up in. The best they could teach you was, hey, give your life to Jesus, and someday when you die, you'll go to heaven and everything will be better. What did Jesus say? I want them to have life and life to the full. We missed the message. We missed the gospel. We got one piece of the gospel. We missed out on the fullness that he wants for us right here and right now. That's you today. There's some of you in here. You're here and you're like, I just got to wait till I die. I'm going to live in this wasteland till I die. In my relationship, in my finances, in my house, in my friendships. I just got to make it till I die. No. He wants you to have life to the full. Take hold of it today. Make a fist. Just take hold of it. Just say it right now. Church, just say it. I'm taking hold of it. Yeah, amen, church. The power of life and death is in the tongue. That's why I have us speak sometimes. Because if we don't speak it, the devil doesn't hear it and understand that we're breaking off every decree and agreement that we've come into with him. And we come into alignment and agreement with the Word of God. He's for you, not against you. Come into agreement with that today. Not, oh, nothing's ever going to work out. Everything's always going to go wrong. Break that off, Charlie Brown. All right? Stop moping. You are more than conquerors in Christ. We walk in victory. We're the head, not the tail. Take hold of the promises. Take hold of the Word of God today. Don't leave this place without coming into agreement with His Word. Your life will never be the same. 1 Corinthians 13. This is where the cessationist mindset, this viewpoint comes from. They have this one little verse right here. They have this one little passage. It says this. Where am I here? There it is. Verse 9 and 10. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. In all this, I mean, Paul is teaching about the gifts. He's teaching about the structure of the church. He's teaching so many great things all throughout 1 Corinthians. It's why we went through it in our second year as a church. God was just giving us a foundation to build on, the foundation of the apostles. That's what we build on. We don't build it on the processes or the programs of men. We build it on the foundation of Jesus Christ and what the apostles laid out for us in the New Testament. That's how we build the church. We don't build it our way. We don't build it with executive pastors. We don't build it with programs and blueprints that come from the next best church consultant. I love church consultants, but they're just pastors that failed. I mean, they are, because they didn't follow and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. As long as in this house we follow and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and confirm it in His Word, we will not fail in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it's a house built on Jesus, built on His Word. He is the Word. He's the Word made manifest. And so He's given us the blueprint for His church. And so some men have taken out of context this one passage here. And they've said, he stopped working like that. It says in verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And they do away with just so much of the New Testament. Apostles, prophets, the spiritual gifts. They do away with all of it right there. And they say, well, that's what Paul meant. Because the perfect is when we get the New Testament. That's what these scholars, these theologians, these cessationists believe. They believe the perfect is, well, when we have now the New Testament, these 27 books in the New Testament, that's the perfect. The perfect is Jesus Christ. That's who Paul is talking about there. When he comes back, every knee shall bow. Do you think we're going to miss it when he comes back? I don't think we're going to miss it. As I read through Scripture, every knee shall bow. We're going to know when He comes back, when the perfect returns, the teleion, the perfect, the complete. We're not going to miss it. And so cessationists, they take this one piece of Scripture and they say, well, that's it. The perfect is the New Testament. And then all of a sudden, they start to cut out the apostles, the prophets, the structure of the church. And they cut out the gifts of the church, gifts of healing. They cut out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They cut out praying in the Spirit. They cut it all out. And they say, anybody or anything, any just hint of that today in the world, it's not actually Jesus, it's demonic. And they're fools, because the Apostle John told us to test the spirits. How do we test the spirits? You line it up with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, if we start to see people claiming Jesus, but operating in the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, then we know, okay, well, we can test the spirits. You can walk in discernment. You can walk in knowledge. Get into the Word of God. Begin to see how He sees, and you'll begin to test things and people, whether they are from God or not from God. So if you're new here today, test this church. You're like, I don't know about this church. This church seems a little crazy, a little weird. Test it. Test it with the Word of God. Test it with the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, as people have walked with us these last 4 years here at Revival, that's one of the greatest testimonies to the power of the Holy Spirit, because there is a visible evidence when you look around at people's lives, at people's families, at what is going on here. When you look around, when you lift your eyes and you look around this house and you see, my goodness, there are people and families being transformed in ways that I've never seen transformed. I grew up in the church. I worked in a church for a long time, and it was a powerless church. It was a church that did not talk about the Holy Spirit, did not teach about the Holy Spirit. They were cessationists. They didn't say they were cessationists. They were undercover cessationists. That's really what they believed. Some of them, I don't even think they really understood, but that's what they were. In these last 4 years, as we've begun to honor the person of the Holy Spirit, many churches operate in 2/3 of the Trinity. They're good with God the Father. They're good with God the Son, but they're a little uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. And they kind of treat Him like this weird relative that they're like, we don't talk to Him. No, we want to talk to Him. In fact, guess what? Yeah. Guess what? Some of you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, but you're like, oh, I'm praying to God. Well, guess what? God, where's He seated? In the heavenlies. Where's Jesus seated? In the heavenlies. Who is with you? The Holy Spirit. He's here. You have to reframe everything. I had the wrong framework for such a long time. The Lord gave me this picture this morning, and as I was sitting with Him, my kids, when they're first learning to tie their shoes, they're terrible at it, right? Amen. Some of you, right? You're like, yeah, they're terrible. What do? They just tie a bunch of knots in there. And then they take the ends and they just keep pulling them tighter and tighter. Why? Because they got the wrong foundation. And so what's the Father have to do? The Father has to go in and just start to work and pull and pull and just, what am I doing? I'm untying the knots so they can learn how to tie their shoes the right way. And some of us in the church have our shoes so knotted up with really terrible theology from a bunch of theologians that didn't know how to explain the absence of the power of God. And so they built a whole theology on the absence of the power of God to excuse away His power and say, well, He just doesn't move like that anymore. He just doesn't speak like that anymore. He just doesn't do that anymore. Why? Because their faith was too small and they didn't want to build it up. They didn't want to stir it up. Why? Because they were comfortable living near Sodom. And you can't live near Sodom when you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, because He will stir you up and convict you to run. He'll convict you to run. And some of us, we get too close to Sodom, and so we're just okay with this theology of, well, this is just good enough. I got just enough of God. I got just enough of God. No. He is pouring out in this last season. He's overflowing in this last season, and there's more of Him. He's infinite. He's infinite. There's a flood of God coming in this season. Don't you want that? Or do you just want to have your shoes knotted so you can't run and you're just stuck there in place? No, you don't want that. You don't want that. This church doesn't want that. You want to run. So you got to get your shoes tied the right way. We got to get our theology right. So we throw that out and we come out of all agreement with that in the name of Jesus Christ. If you came in here today and you were a cessationist and you didn't know it, praise the Lord, I believe you just got free today. If you came in here today and you're a cessationist and you're like, I'm kind of comfortable with that, I believe God just sowed a seed in you. And it's going to be, I heard my friend Josh Laughlin, he explained it like this at prayer on Wednesday. He said, it's going to be like a rock in your shoe. Some of you just got a seed sown tonight, today, whatever. A seed sown today, and it's going to be like a rock in your shoe, and you're going to be like, I don't know if I like that church. I don't know if I like that pastor. I don't know if I agree with him. You're going to get in the car, you and your spouse today, and you and your spouse, you're going to talk about it, and you're going to be like, I don't know about that. That guy seems a little crazy, a little wacky, whatever. you know, and you're going to drive away, but it's like a rock in your shoe, and you're just going to keep walking around with the seed of God's word in you, and all of a sudden one day you're just going to be like, I can't walk like this anymore. You have to address it. You have to address it. And you start chasing him and running after him and saying, God, if there's more of you, I want to experience that. I want to hear your voice. I want to feel your fire. I want to pray in the spirit. I want to walk in the miracles. I want to walk in the gifts. I want to see you do the things that I've read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, because you're the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Lord. The knots just got untied. The theology that was broken and misaligned is getting removed right now. Just begin to say yes to Jesus. Yeah, that's good. Worship team, I want to invite you up. Church, just close your eyes, put your hands out in front of you. There's some of you, you've never said yes to Jesus. This is your chance. Church, we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together just to give somebody boldness to speak these words out loud, because it's for the very first time ever. So we're just going to do this together. With your eyes closed, your hands out. Romans 10:9. Just say this. Jesus, you are Lord. And I know God raised you from the dead. And I accept you as Lord and Savior today. It says in his word, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You're saved. You're saved. You said yes to Jesus right now, here in this moment. Now say this, Lord, I repent for my old life. And I want to chase after you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, he's got more for you today. We're going to chase after him here. This is a moment to look around. This is a moment to thank him for what he's done. Don't lose sight of what he's done, how he's been moving, how he's been working in your life. Look around. It's a harvest season. We're going to praise him right now. We're going to praise him hard. We're going to jump. We're going to dance. We're going to sing. If you got kids down in kids ministry, I want to dismiss you right now. Go get those kids. Bring them up here because they love this song. This song, oh my goodness, we praise hard to this song here. And some of you are like, I've never sang in church. I've had two men in the last 2 months come up to me. They're from the church I did ministry in for 13 years. And they've come up to me in the last couple months. These two men, they don't know each other. They haven't talked to each other. They said, they confessed to me. They're kind of older guys. And they just said, for the first time in my life, I've been singing in church. I've been worshiping in church. I said, praise God. Praise God. What's he desire? A sacrifice of the lips and praise, it says in Hebrews. When you praise him, you bring him a worthy sacrifice. It's a sacrifice because you die to self. You die to pride. You die to what men think about you. And you say, Lord, I only care what you think. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. So let's stand and let's praise him in this moment. Give him your hands, give him your feet, jump up and down, give him your voice. Good thing. And I'm believing God is for you, not against you. And if you keep following him, he's going to give you that in this next season. But right now, don't let bitterness or dissatisfaction or jealousy creep in. Celebrate what the Lord is doing and believe that he wants to do it for you, because he is no respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Somebody's told you, you can't have a baby, your womb is closed, it will never happen. No, I'm believing it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. So right now, we take this moment to celebrate with a couple families. that have stepped into this blessing in this season. The Siwas and the Hendricksons, would you guys join us up here? We'll have you guys go in the middle. Church, you can be seated for this part. We love baby dedications here. It's a blessing. It's an honor. What I love about both these couples right here, like, you guys have made the decision, you made the choice to say, we're going to be planted in God's house. That's the church. When you get planted in a church, that's God's house. And we're going to hold on to his promises, and we're going to believe what his word says. When I talk to these couples, when I hang out with them, when I'm around them, I know that they put their faith in the Lord and they put their faith in what his word says. They believe it to be true. That as they're planted in his house, they'll be fresh and flourishing all the days of their lives. That they'll be the head and not the tail. That he is for them, not against them. And so we just thank God. Thank God for a mother and father in both these families that have said, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. There's no turning back in this family. There's no looking back in these families. So we just praise Jesus for that. Mike and Allie, this is little Nora.